I believe that America is being redefined instead of keeping the definition of a Christian nation that God ordained for us. And next Sunday morning, and people all over America are trying to make a new definition of what America is. All I'm going to tell you next week, and you can come anyway if you want to, is that God has a definition for this country. I don't curse my nation. I'm like Kirk. I'm not cursing it. Because wherever there are people, there's hope. There's hope. Therefore, next Sunday, we will be going that route. But I'm preaching from a book. If I've ever preached from this book here, I don't remember. If I preach from this book in Sisseton, after living here for 35 years, I don't remember. And if you don't like it, I don't remember. Anyway, Paul's writing to Philemon, and in verse number 3, he says this: Grace and peace to you from our God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God, making mention of you always in my prayers, hearing of your love and faith which you have toward the Lord Jesus and toward all the saints, that the sharing of your faith may become effective by acknowledgement of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. Grace and mercy. We preached for 2 or 3 weeks on grace recently. But something is in there because of that word peace. How many of you like yourself? How many of you love yourself? How many of you wish you didn't exist? How many of you have weaknesses that you kind of don't even want to think about? How many of you think God feels the same way about you that you feel about you? You see, where are you going? I don't know, but it sounds good. How can we live in God's grace and peace if we're uncomfortable with the skin that we're in?
That's right.
You know, I understand something. God never made me look like Rock Hudson. Some of you don't even know who he is. God never made me look like John Wayne. And you're thankful God never made me look like you. He made me look like me. But understand something. God made you look like you, but we're in his image. Do you ever think about that? He created us in his image. And most of our difficulties, many of them, aren't because of someone else. It's what we think about ourselves inside. Mm-hmm. Grace and peace. I heard preachers preach, and I think it was Larry, what's his name, from Washington? Larry Huck. Preach that the word peace means nothing missing, nothing broken. As I look it up and try to figure it out according to the Greek, it kind of has the idea of an absence of turmoil. How many of you have turmoil in your life because everything becomes a crisis? You know, people live that way. They live, and they kind of grow in that. They live from one crisis to another. And if there's no crisis, they worry that nothing... Yeah, they'll make it. Kirk and I are totally different. I can do 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 things and I'm very happy. He focuses on one thing. I'm trying to focus on 6, and I'm okay with that. But there are things that we focus on, and it kind of seems to just breed worry and fear and things that we don't need to deal with. How many of you believe that God has everything under control? Amen. Really?
Yes.
Then what are you worried about?
That's right.
If we are really believing God is controlling my life, God has everything planned, God has designed it, then why am I trying to fix something all the time or change something all the time or go back to what I came from or whatever it might be? We do not accomplish the work of God the way He wants because we get too focused on what He has in control. I was listening, I listened to, I love K-Love, and we got the Messenger on Sirius Radio, and we got the Christian station on almost all the way out to Rapp until I got tired of listening the same song 40 times. But there's one song that just hit me because the guy sang, and somebody probably could tell me, Greens have it, it's about me, 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 me. God never designed your life to be about you. He designed your life to be about Him.
Amen. Amen.
Paul's in prison. And he says, having food and raiment, be content. Or if you're eating something and you got clothes on, your life is complete. I guess you didn't get that point. There's nothing wrong with having great things. There's nothing wrong with having a new house, Kirk. I mean, their house is beautiful. But it's not life.
That's right.
It's when we take the things that God gives us and we make them our life and we don't bow down and worship them, but boy, if they disappear, we're not very happy, are we? God wants you to walk in peace. He wants you to live like there's nothing missing and nothing broken, and what you need, He'll provide.
Amen.
When I can come, and I'm preaching to myself hard, because I got my feelings hurt over and over again watching people drive in with new rigs. And I'm thinking, God, here I've given my life to You, and I don't have one of those 40 or 50 or 60 foot RVs. Man, they're nice. And I can't even trade a trailer for another trailer. But you know, we get so caught up in the temporary, and I do too, that we forget about the eternal. How many had a problem a year ago that doesn't exist today? Isn't that amazing? That you made it through. It doesn't exist today. You got through it then. You'll get through what you're facing now. And all you need to do, and all I need to do, is trust God and live in His peace and grace. Are we okay? I thank my God, verse 4, making mention of you always in my prayers. Okay, look around. All over these people, look around. Don't look at me. Just look. question. Who are you going to pray for this week? Who are you going to pray for? Paul says, I pray for you all the time. Talking to Philemon. I pray for you all the time. And Paul was dealing with a prisoner named Onesimus. And he was telling Philemon to take this man under your wing. But I believe what this body needs to do, and I need to do, is when I sit down to pray, remember at least two or three people. And start praying for them. You may say, I don't know how to pray. Sure. If nothing else, God bless Pastor. And please, Lord, let him preach shorter. No, but I mean, I'm going to do that. But can we just, I believe there's a bond that God wants to bring in here that Satan hates. That he does not want us to be united. He wants to stir up any little thing he can. And, you know, there are people coming in these doors, coming from churches where problems have existed. We don't want that here. And the way to stop a lot of things from happening is pray for one another. We can get by ourselves and intercede for the people of this church. And what a blessing. If you wake up in the middle of the night, God's just not saying, hey, I just want you to lay there awake. Pray for somebody.
Amen.
I pray for Paul Osborne about every day. I pray for people every day. When I wake up, when I'm here in the mornings, people's names just keep rolling off. And I'm not as faithful as I need to be. But together we can do it. This is not a one-man deal or the worship team deal. This is all of us pulling together to pray for people. And please pray for other Christians.
Yes.
Other churches. I was sitting outside the camper last week. And started reading and got through 1 Philippians one day, and 1 Timothy one day, and 2 Timothy the next day, and Titus the next day. And I came to Philemon, and all of a sudden this thing just hit me. There's something here I've missed. There's something here I missed. And so every morning when I was doing my study, I'd go back to Philippians 1, and all of a sudden things start coming together. But this prayer thing is important. It's not just another message to say, hey, we need to do something. Let's do it.
Amen.
Let's just do it, okay? Verse 5 says, hearing of your love, that's for the saints, and your faith in Jesus Christ, and toward all the saints, the love that you have for all the saints. Interesting. The communication of thy faith may become effectual or active by the acknowledgement of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. But going back up, hearing of thy faith, love and faith which you have. Well, anyway, read it. Faith in Jesus Christ. Do we as a body of believers have trust and confidence in God? Have we learned to place our lives in His hands? And at times it's not even unloading something, although the words this morning were great. It's allowing Him just to take control, and He takes it. He just takes it. Because we have given our lives to Him and we allow Him to unload it. There are burdens that we carry, and there's burdens that we shed, and there's burdens that we just simply give to Christ. But if you have a burden that is wearing you out, that is making you just absolutely distressed or tired, that's not your burden, and you shouldn't be carrying it. You should give it to God. You say, what are you talking about? Jesus said, my yoke is easy and my burden is what?
Light.
And if you're carrying a burden for somebody else that is wearing you out, that's God's burden, and you give it to him and you take the light ones that he allows you to carry. We wear ourselves out carrying things that God says, give to me.
That's right.
And that's unloading. That's just casting it off, like we heard this morning. Do you know, oh boy, I got to be careful. Oh, I better sit down and pray about this for a while. Are we mature enough to hear truth? Okay.
We'll find out after you say
that. Anybody bring any tomatoes or eggs? Got some in the fridge. We get involved, intertwined in people's lives. How many do that? But what do we know about them? Most of what you know about people are their problems. And so we're dealing with people's problems instead of just coming to a place and we're going to say we're dealing with their problems because we love them. Okay? Many times we deal with their problems because we're not focusing on ours. God tells you here to love all the saints. It's not carrying all their burdens. Somebody check and see if the water's on. It's just coming to a place where we are united with them in their lives in Christ. We're praying for them. We're helping them. We're helping them. We're strengthening them. We're encouraging them. And when they have a problem, we pray for them. But God never told you to carry their problem. He told you to give their problem to me. And I'm not saying, hey, just ignore people and their issues, and after all, that's just dumb. I'm not saying that. I'm saying we do not come to a place where people's problems are destroying us. I was listening to a talk radio show coming home yesterday, and every once in a while, Judy will let me listen to ESPN. And they were talking about a man by the name of Johnny Manziel. How many of you ever heard of Johnny Manziel? Johnny Manziel had a pro-type offense in college, took Texas A&M to bowl game, won a lot of games for him, and then turned to drugs and alcohol and all kinds of stuff. And he was the number 22 pick in the draft. See how my acknowledgement is at 72? That's pretty good. And just recently got cut by Cleveland, and he's back doing his thing. The conversation went like this. You guys on the radio should leave him alone. He's not the only kid that's done this. We're trying to help him. We're trying to let him know. And his dad made the statement that I may have to bury him. The family has given up. Everybody else's situations until we hear from God how to deal with them, we can't fix. Is that right?
That's right.
We can encourage them, and I'm telling you to do that. We can bless them, and I'm telling you to do that. What we need to do is love them, and we can become a sounding board for the issues, but the one that satisfies and meets the needs is God.
That's right, amen.
And I'm not trying to be mean. Because there is a thing called transference in counseling. And that means you take on the other person's life. And you start living their, people start living their life instead of living their own life. The transference we want is Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I want to take on His life and live it. But come to a place that you are radically in love with believers. You say, wait a minute now, what about the unsaved? We love them. We spend a lot of time praying for them. But we don't want to bring them into a church that doesn't love each other. Why do we want to have an atmosphere here where Paul doesn't talk to Brian, and Brian doesn't talk to Kirk, Kirk doesn't talk to Pastor? Well, that's already here. and we just simply ignore one another, and all we have is an hour and a half of something on Sunday morning, and we go home. God wants us to love one another.
Amen.
Intensely love one another, minister to one another, help one another, and bring people into an atmosphere of heaven. Because that's what's going to change people's lives and draw them to Jesus. It's like somebody said, people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. Now Paul just kind of changes the subject a bit. And he says, but that the sharing of your faith in verse 6 may become effective by the acknowledgement of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. How many's ever wanted to preach on Sunday morning? I don't have any takers. Okay. I'm going to sit down and let you finish the service almost. You say, what are you doing? Oh, you look good. You're getting a little nervous now. Brian sweating. What's that verse say? May become effectual. Your witnessing may become effectual of the faith by every good thing that is in you. John? See, he shakes his head no. Alana? Okay, let's just do something here. It's different. But tell me, what good thing has God put in you? What good thing has God put in you? I can't hear you. His Holy Spirit, okay. So how many of you have the Holy Spirit within you?
Everything to do with the kingdom.
I'm not going to accept that answer. That's too
broad.
That's too broad. But it's true.
It's true.
But what is, okay then, if you're going to go that way, what is everything? You had yours already. I don't want an explanation. Sherry.
Hospitality and joy.
Hospitality and joy. Okay, bring me a sandwich, will you? Hospitality and joy. What else has he put within you?
Peace.
Peace. What else does he put within you?
Joy.
Okay, come on.
Love.
I heard a compassion.
Somebody said compassion? Acknowledge that. Who said compassion? Good. Gal from out east. What else?
Patience.
Oh, your doctor? You got patience? Patience. I don't like that word. I'm not. Yeah, that's right. Patience. What else does he put within you?
Strength.
Strength. Kindness.
Goodness.
Goodness. Ableness.
Endurance.
Endurance. But you're still all dead. What's the L word he put within you?
Life.
You got all this stuff and you're still dead. He put life in us. So how many of you, boy, how many of you really believe that? Then how many of you really live it? You got life. Tell your body that. Right? Tell your mind that. I'm alive. You have love. Anybody ever hear of Oral Roberts? He had a saying. A bell's not a bell till you ring it. A song's not a song until you sing it. Love is not love put there to stay. Love is only love when you give it away. Okay. What are you going to do with your love?
Give it away.
Good place to start right here. Amen?
Amen.
How many of you feel love this morning? Probably did till I started preaching. You know, I put compassion down here. What's compassion? Compassion is an inward stirring at someone who looks despicable or has a despicable life or going through a despicable time. I don't think anybody said this, but we have His power within us. We have His anointing within us. We have His joy, peace, and righteousness. The kingdom of God, as Ray was saying, is righteousness, joy, and peace in the Holy Spirit. I don't think anybody said this, but maybe I missed it. You have His wisdom and knowledge. In fact, as the Bible says, you have the mind of Christ. So what are we struggling with? We have all the gifts, and we have all the fruit of the Spirit. You are armed and dangerous. Do you know that? You are armed and dangerous to the kingdom of Satan. There is nothing that He has called you to do that through Him He has not qualified you to do.
That's right.
Shall I repeat that? There is nothing He has called you to do that through Him He has not qualified you to do. You know, I'm goofy. I know I'm goofy. And Brian, we'd sit out there and people would walk by and I'd start talking to them just like I knew them all my life. We had a Kentucky group on one side. We had a Maine group on the other side. We had a Nebraska group, a youth pastor, and his dad and brother who was going to be a youth pastor. And then we had a family from Maryland pull beside us. The two families from Kentucky went to a place, ate a meal there. She came home really sick, and they had to leave the next day for Yellowstone. So I'm sitting reading my Bible the morning they're leaving, and the Lord said, go pray for them. Go pray for her. You know, you feel that pull in the spirit, you know what I'm talking about? I've talked to him a few times. Brian talked to him, I think, a few times. People from Kentucky. So I walked over and said, how are you doing? Oh, I don't really feel good. And I said, say, would you mind if I prayed with you? She says, no, please do. How many of us get afraid that they're going to say no? So we prayed. She went on packing and got in their vehicles. They left. So in pulled this family from Maryland. Get up in the morning, they're packing to go, they're going to Yellowstone. Everybody went to Yellowstone. So we're talking and sharing, and I looked at him, I said, would you mind if I pray for you for your trip? No, please do. And so we had prayer. He gets ready to go, and he was kind of a different dude, just a little different. Doesn't mean bad, it's just different. And he looked at me and said, thank you so much. And then we met this couple from Grand Rapids, Minnesota. I don't think I ever liked anybody from Grand Rapids till. We played them in football, we played them in hockey, we played them in all these sports, and we're just sitting talking, and I come through on, they're getting ready to go up to Medora, and I'm talking to him, and he says, what are you going to preach Sunday? I said, well, I think I have it. He said, well, what is it? So I started explaining it to him. Oh, good deal, and just wanted to hear and listen, and it was just like old home week. I'm saying that to say this. When God brings somebody next to you, he's qualified you to visit with them and share with them whatever he tells you. It's not knowing them. It's knowing him.
Amen.
So whatever God is speaking to your heart, and if it's about the bathroom, I'm almost done. But whatever God is speaking to your heart, he has given you not only the ability to do it, but a desire to do it that you got to hold back if you're not going to do it. Because I believe everyone sitting here right now has a heart for God. And I believe that God is just opening visions and dreams and situations and showing you things and speaking to you about things. And you look at that and say, well, God, how? And the only answer you're ever going to get, it's God saying to you through me. And as we take that step, it's amazing. Friday morning, I was supposed to meet a guy at 7:30. One of the directors of the camp. I get up at 7:00. Get in my shower, sitting outside reading the Bible, 8 o'clock, 8:30, 9 o'clock, 9:30. Oh me, I'm just really patient waiting for him. And 9:30 I hear, he said, you'll know I'm coming because you'll hear my bike. And I heard this bike, I said, that can't be Paul. Not at 9:30. It's Paul. Sorry, I overslept, but I wanted to meet with you. And so we went down and had pancakes and just sitting there talking. All of a sudden, he begins to open up. Who wants to open up to you? You have been designed by God to touch people. Now let's do this together, okay? Let's just tell God, God, everything in my life that I think is a flaw, I give to you.
Amen.
Every mistake I've ever made in my life, they're yours. What does that do? That frees you to be used by God.
Amen.
Because honestly, there are things in our lives that we don't want to think about. So why think about them? Just give them to God. Everything. And come to a place where I'm saying to God, I'm available. You see, he has enough ability for both of us. Right?
That's right.
He has enough ability for everything he's called you to do. Because the first thing that happens when he speaks to us about ministering or touching somebody is not, I can't do it. Because he's not asking you to do it. He's asking you to make yourself available so he can do it through you.
That's right.
Is that okay?
Yes, sir.
He's asking you. Now let me ask you a question. How many of you can allow God to minister through you? And that's where we are. Pray for the saints. Pray for the people of this body. Love the people of this body. If you hear a bad report about somebody, don't believe it until God tells you.
That's right.
Amen?
Yes.
Amen.
And then recognize what he's done in you. Amen?